World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm trying to take some deep breaths today because I'm coming out of the box hot today. Is that all right? Not much time for a warm-up here this morning. I just got some stuff that weekends are sometimes the worst time for me. This is the worst time. I'm gonna shock all of you. Okay? I'm gonna shock you. I don't go to church on Sunday. In fact, I don't go to church. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't go to church because can I say it in a nice way? I can't take the how would I say that? I can't take the partial truths that I'm learning in church. Now wait a minute. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. And I know the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And even more as we see that day approaching. But I'm going to tell you something. Getting together with some of those people in one of those boxes, that ain't assembling. That isn't it. Huh? No. I'd rather ride a horse. It makes me unbelievably frustrated to walk in to any place where they are. Get ready to give me a thumbs up here, right?
I agree.
I cannot walk into any place where they absolutely are ignoring the truth, ignoring what's going on around. I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse. This idea that God's in control. What is that? What is it? Can somebody tell me what that even means? What does that even mean? That is just nothing more than a fallback position. Sorry, for those who are walking in defeat. Every time they get defeated, they say, well, God's in control. Hey, folks, God's in control when you win. Did you ever think about that?
Boom.
God's in control when we're advancing the kingdom. He's in control then as well. And I was thinking about a little bit, what really set me up here, primed me up here. I'm going to try to be good. It's Monday, the first day of summer. 6/21/21. Got to be a number in there somewhere, doesn't it? You numerologist, something there. I'm so sick and tired of Christians doing it their way, their particular denominational way. Well, we don't believe that in our church. We don't do that in our church. Look, we're all grown-ups here, okay? I'm trying to strengthen your faith, not weaken it. I'm 40. I'm 68 years old. How old are you, Brett? Hi, Brett.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. I'm 51.
51 years old. How long you been saved, Brett?
Since I was in middle school.
So 15.
But I'm awake now.
Okay, hang on.
I'm awake now.
I'm going somewhere, see? So you've been a Christian for 30 years, and you just believe in stuff people told you.
No one ever told me before.
There you go. And so what? We go every Sunday, and you go into your denominational box or your non-denominational box, and you are at the mercy of the guy standing in the pulpit who tells you what you're supposed to believe. Somebody give me a thumbs up because there can't be anything more true than that.
And real quick, Coach, on that point, I did go to church yesterday in St. Augustine with my mom and dad, and you guys aren't going to believe this. I hope Pastor Dale's ears are working right now because the American Family Research Council, whoever that Tony Perkins guy is, I would have never even known about Tony Perkins unless it was his team. Well, guess who was the guest speaker yesterday?
Tony Perkins.
One of his generals, General Boykins, who that guy's really good. He gave a great sermon. But guess who went up? I bought a book and I said, you need to call Tony Perkins now, and he needs to repent. He needs to call Pastor Tony Spell and apologize.
Amen for you, Brent. What'd he say?
He looked at me with a glazed eye. Then he smiled because I said, in your sermon, you were bragging about some pastor in California that he never shut down. Well, I'm going to tell you, Tony Perkins attacked one of the pastors, Pastor Tony Spell. And I told him about you, Coach Dave Live. We took 200 of us there. And he looked at me, you know, because he's got the book line. He's signing books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm going right to him, and I'm going to let him know, call Tony Perkins tonight, and he better call Pastor Tony Spell and apologize.
No internet connection, my wife said. We're getting out okay, honey. I think we're getting out okay. Everybody picking me up okay? My wife's not getting any internet. I'm sorry.
You're good here, Coach.
Okay. Okay. I'm talking to you guys. I think we have to have an internet connection. Listen, I am so sick and tired. Can I just get this off my chest? I'm so sick and tired of irrelevant, self-centered Christianity. I'm so sick and tired of it. I'm so sick and tired of it. And I run into it everywhere I go. And maybe it's me. Do you ever been around somebody who thinks everybody else is sick and it's them? That's me. That's me. I think everybody else is sick and they all think I'm sick. And I can't for the life of me figure out what we're going to do if we don't get the body of Christ to awaken to what's going on. I spent my weekend, as much as I didn't want to, I watched some videos that we've posted at CoachDaveLive.com. Can you go there real quick for me, Spence? By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, get off YouTube! We're going to close down our YouTube feed here as soon as in about a second. We're going to close it down. CoachDaveLive.com. Get off of YouTube. Get YouTube out of your brain, all right? Get YouTube out of your brain. By the way, I want to thank Pastor Toto because he posted on his page our interview from last week, and it's now gotten, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 views, something like that. So thank you, Pastor Toto, for the cross-pollinization, which, by the way, is what we have to do. And I'm screaming and hollering. What was I screaming and hollering about? Oh, scroll down. I posted some videos. Folks, there's some stuff. That's not it, Spence. Folks, there's some things I posted on the you got to watch them, man. Where are they? Pardon the third one over there. We're at war. Don't be a casualty. You got to. Folks, do you understand the devastating effects of what's going on with the vaccinations? My greatest frustration is I run into Christians and I bring up the vaccinations and they look at me like, I don't even know. And what do you say to good friends that you love who've taken the jab? What do you say? And one of my new tests that when I come into Christians, they tell me, I ask them, what's your pastor's position on the vaccinations? That's my new, what do they call that? That's my new test. That's my new test. And you know what? I don't know if I've had anybody say this. My pastor stands in the pulpit and tells us that if we take it, it's a sin against Almighty God. Am I wrong? If I was a pastor, would I be wrong to say that, friends? Would I be wrong to stand in my pulpit and say, listen, to all of you out there, if you're in this congregation and you have taken the jab, you need to repent and pray that Jesus will forgive you. Would I be wrong to say that, friends? See, here's the response that I get. You get it too. What is your pastor? Hey, let's play a game here. Hey, James, what does your pastor say about the vaccination? Well, Coach, he talks about it, and then he says, "Just be informed, and it's up to you to make your own decision about it." So what? What's your pastor say about three-way sex? He said, well, just, you know, consider all the issues with it. And, you know, after you consider it all, then, you know, if it feels good, do it. Is that what he says to you? Does your pastor say, don't take it? It's deadly. Don't take it. It's deadly. Don't take it. It's used aborted baby parts in the vaccination, maybe not in the vaccination, but into the run-up of it, the development of it. It has used unborn baby, aborted baby. Don't take it. Don't take it. To me, that's become a new litmus test. And I'm finding rare is the pastor who would say, don't take it. I'm going to shut up a minute. Anybody think I'm wrong? Hit me right now if you think I'm wrong. Hit me right now. Listen to me. If your pastor can't get vaccinations right, if he can't get this, that he is the shepherd of your soul, they tell us. And you mean to tell me he can't get this huge, huge issue correct?
Amen.
And you trust him? Now, listen, I'm not saying you don't trust him because he's not an honest guy. That's not what I'm saying. I don't trust him because he doesn't have any discernment. Can't discern. There's something wrong with his vaccine. You can't look at the videos out there. You can't look at the videos. Did you guys see Simone? I've got one on Simone Gold here this morning, another one. You can't see the censorship. You can't see what's going on. You're telling me you're standing in a pulpit every Sunday morning and you can't see what's going on, the demonic impact of this whole thing? You can't see it? I think they see it. I think they see it. I think they want to please all men.
Exactly.
And they're going to be able to say at the end of the day, well, I warned them. I warned them to be very, very careful. And we're not going to, folks, until the body of Christ awakens, understands what's going on. Do you guys know, listen, I spend a lot. My wife hit me over the head probably. She says, you spend too much time. I feel a responsibility. Hey, Brett, I feel a responsibility. Rochelle, by the way, thanks for the books, Rochelle. I feel a responsibility to Rochelle and to Betty, to Debbie. I feel a responsibility that when I come here fully equipped with truth. I feel a responsibility to that.
Because you're the coach. You don't show up to the game without your plays practiced and ready to call.
Amen, Brett, but it's even more than that, see. It's even more than that. I'm not dependent on you guys for my livelihood. I don't want to offend you. I'm like everybody. I like to look up here and see 5,000 people watching, but I really don't care. And I never get here before this microphone and say, well, I'm not going to say that because it might offend this person. I'm never going to do that. I'm a seeker of truth. And I'm going to try to throw the truth out there the best I understand it to be. And then you have the opportunity to disagree with me. Then the Bible says, come, let us reason together. But I want to tell you the truth. I never say anything in here. I never not say anything because I'm afraid I'm going to offend somebody. I never do it. I'll tell you the truth. Okay, you ready? Sitting down? My opinion? I think the Catholic Church is lost. I think it's lost. Now, I was raised Catholic.
Amen.
You want to stay in the Catholic Church? You go ahead and stay in there. But I think the Southern Baptists are lost. Sit right down there. Just stay right. That's just right. Be careful. I think the Presbyterians are lost. I think the Methodists are so far off the reservation, I don't even know if they're Christian anymore. The Episcopalians, they are so far gone. They're so far gone, right? You picking up what I'm saying here, folks? And it's all because why? We've been teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God a known fact. And you know what happened to you? You ended up in a church. You claim to be saved. You may be saved. I hope you're saved. I don't know if you're saved. But you ended up in a church, and you're being taught the traditions of men. Catholics being the worst. I'm not a Catholic basher. I was raised Catholic. My dad put us in catechism every Sunday. I went to 9 o'clock catechism and 10 o'clock service every Sunday of my growing up. And I never, they never, I don't even know ever. I don't know if they ever opened the Bible in catechism. I don't know if they ever did. Now I knew all the Catholic traditions. Oh yeah, I knew transubstantiation, and I knew about purgatory, and I knew all that stuff. But for $487,000, I couldn't have told you one Bible verse. Couldn't have mentioned one to you. And in fact, you got in trouble. I didn't. But if you took a Bible with you to Mass, there's something wrong with you. You didn't need that. You didn't need that book. You go, I got bone up. He's going to tell you what to do. But can I tell you this? It's no better than Southern Baptist. It ain't no better. It's a once saved, always saved stuff that you guys were like, oh, he'll never pluck you out of his hand. Oh, really? Really? So I can get saved. I'm just asking. I can get saved and then go sneak around, have sex with other women and rob banks and sell drugs. And I'm on my way to that's foolishness. That's foolish. But that, see, I think that is the traditions of men. I hope I'm stepping on everybody's toes today. I hope it's a universal kick in the shins, because ain't none of us got it right. Ain't none of us got it right. That's why we got 48 different denominations, 22,000, I think. Dude, hey, Spencer, do that real quick. You guys think I'm kidding you? Hey, Spencer, just Google, how many denominations are there? Let's see what it says. Christian denominations. How many Christian denominations? And by the way, denominates, that's a math term. It means divide, denominate, a numerator and a denominator. You guys remember long division? I don't even know if they teach it anymore. Remember that little box you put it in? You had a numerator and a denominator. You had the number 49 was the numerator, and the denominator was 7. And you put it in that little box, 7 into 49 goes 7 times. It's dividing. It's equal, right? And so what do we have today? Denominations. How many denominations? 200 Christian denominations just in the U.S. You see that? You think I'm making this up? 200 denominations. And 45,000 globally denominations of Christianity. All of them based on what? What some guy standing in the pulpit, some expert tells you the Bible says. And I promise you this, those denominations are there because Christians don't agree on what the Bible says. Christians say, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. But that's a lie. They don't believe it. Oh, they believe parts of it. They believe the parts they want to believe. Well, Coach, I've really studied this really, really deeply. And Coach, I got to tell you something, Coach. There is a rapture. There is a pre-tribulation rapture. And then I tap my other buddy on the shoulder and he says, oh, Coach, I studied it very, very deeply, man. I've been in this. I've been studying this for 30 years. And there isn't any pre-tribulation. There isn't one, Coach. Now, what? It can't be both. And so then we divide. Let's go to the rapture church and the non-rapture church. And then the who doesn't care church. And the whole time I was in the Catholic Church, I never ever heard the first thing about end time prophecy, end time, what do they call it? Eschatology. Never heard it ever. The first moment in the Catholic Church, never heard, knew anything about it. I remember when I was about 14 or 15 years old, my mom took me to a movie. Well, you guys would remember it. It was on. It wasn't Left Behind, but it was a movie on the rapture. And as we're going in the building, I said, "Mom, what are we doing here?" She said, oh, "We're going to see this movie on what's it on, Mom? What's on the secret catching away?" I said, "What? What? That's 15 years old. Never heard anything of it." Then I found Christ, a World Harvest Church, Pastor Rod Parsley. Thank God for Rod Parsley and my salvation. And I go in there and I got saved. I'm radically changed. And the next thing I know, I'm learning all this dispensationalism. Learning it all. And I'm not here to argue whether it's right or whether it's wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. That's what I learned. Why did I learn that? Because that's what he believed. But there was another big church down the street, and it had a bunch of people in it too. And it talked about salvation, but they didn't talk about end time dispensationalism and rapture. Which one was right? There's 3,000 people in both churches. Well, brother, we'll just agree to disagree because it's, brother, those are non-essentials. We'll just agree to disagree. But you don't agree to disagree. You really don't. You argue over it. You separate over it. So you don't agree to disagree. You take your ball and you go to your own playground with it. So how do we know what's true? How do we know what's true? Okay, listen. I'm not going to go to church just because my friends are there. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's almost idolatry, isn't it? Well, you know, our pastor is missing the mark a little bit. He's such a nice guy. And, you know, Susie goes there and Billy and our kids are friends and they have a good youth group. Really? Really? I don't know how I got on this rant. I'll get off of it here in a minute. I'm just telling you the truth here. You can trust this. That when you come here, I don't care what you believe. But there are no sacred cows here. And if it don't line up, I'm going to ask you about it. Really? Really? Because boys and girls can't all be right. Can't all be right. Now, Terry Ladrick, who I trust, just says, Coach, you're offline. What does that mean? What does that mean? Your show is offline today. Is it? What's that? Your show is offline today. That's all it says. Let me ask you, where? Where? Because my...
Hey, but Coach.
Because my wife said the same thing. Yeah, go ahead. Coach.
Yeah, it says offline if you go to the internet on my television. I'm able to get it on my phone, but there is something wrong if you're going to it from some platform. So I'm not sure why.
All right. Well, thank you, Mel. We'll get that straight. Hey, look, I'm not trying to start a fight. Am I streaming at Coach Dave Live? Am I streaming there, folks?
Yeah,
we're on there.
Yes,
coach. Okay, I'm going to try sending there.
About the denominations, what is a weakening of the faith.
Hang on a second. I want you to say it. He said it says here on the line, Spencer, on my website, it says offline, whatever that means. Go ahead, Vinny. Go ahead. I'm demeaning it.
It's a splintering of the faith. It's just a division. Just to make it weak.
The Bible says this, foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strifes. Foolish and unlearned questions. You say, well, Coach, the end-time theology, that's not foolish. It pretty much it is. It pretty much is foolish. Because I can't extend my life not 1 minute, not 1 second beyond what the Lord's given me. And there's an end-time waiting for all of us. Is my end-time the end of the world? I'm just throwing out stuff. I don't think I'm going to see the rapture. If there is one, I don't think I'm going to see it. I think I'm going to die. That's what I think. Every day I get up, I'm more concerned about personal death than I am the rapture. I don't know about where the rest of you live your life. It's irrelevant to me. Say, Coach, look at the signs. It's all stacking up. Yeah. Look at my blood pressure. It's all stacking up. What are you talking about? And we focus on non-essentials. We focus on things that... By the way, folks, we say they're non-essentials. We say they're non-essentials, yet they're not non-essentials to us. We go to war over these things that we say are non-essentials. We divide churches over them. Coach, where do you go to church? I had a guy ask me that. You know why they asked me that? Hey, where do you go to church? They want to find out what I believe. I say, well, I go to Church of God in Christ under whatever. As soon as they hear, so then they know what I believe. And now they'll decide whether or not we can walk together. Because the Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree, right? I'm just talking off the top of my head. This stuff irritates me, and I know it irritates the Lord. And if there's one common trait, I'm going to get to all of you, hang on. If there's one common trait about this show that I bring up over and over and over, it is this. You have been taught so much stuff that is not true. Period. Is there a pre-trib rapture or not? Hey, folks, that's not something you agree to disagree on. There either is or there isn't. Right? Where do you go when you die? Do you go to heaven and hell or do you just sleep? Well, you can agree to disagree, but only one of those things is right. And by the way, where did you come up with your belief? Was it just something you researched on your own out of the Bible, or did somebody teach it to you? And it got so deeply inbred in you that you can't swim out from under it. It's the paradigm thing we talked about last. Give me some grace here, man. Give me some grace. It bothers me. Really bothers me. Yeah.
I found 70 extra verses in Esdras this weekend. And those 70 extra verses tell you what happens when you die.
Yeah, but that's not what your pastor says, Vinny.
No, absolutely not.
He went to seminary and he learned something else. Now, we're not going to listen. We're not going to argue. We're going to agree to disagree. But in the meantime, we'll be in our own little denominations over here. And we certainly won't lock. Are we supposed, if the government tells you to take a vaccine, should your pastor be able to walk into the pulpit and say either yes, take it, or no, don't take it? Is he really supposed to tell you, well, do whatever your conscience tells you? Really? Does he do that? Does he do that on other sins? I say this, me. All right, taking this vaccination is a sin. My opinion, I believe it's a sin. Somebody come on in. Come on in, Rochelle. You're at the top of the list this morning. I think it's a sin. And I think for any pastor to tell you to take it, he's leading you into sin. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Good morning, team. Okay, so let me just... Oh, that's my dog. Sorry. Let me just hit on first. The pastors haven't dealt with real life issues in the church for a long time. They've gone to seminary school and they don't teach. They teach them how to grow their church, not how to grow a person's soul.
Yes.
So what Vinny said about Ezra's. Yeah, that Ezra's, it's always been there. They have chosen not to go into these extra biblical texts to discern which is correct. Do we go into Sheol or do we go to heaven? How's it work? The thing is, they don't do any further study. And when there is people believe in the rapture or people don't believe in the rapture, they won't present both sides. No. They just ignore it altogether.
So, Rochelle, listen, I've had people break fellowship with me because I even talk about the giants. They break fellowship. Mm-hmm. They don't want to dig into it and see. Well, coach is off the plantation. That poor coach, he's off the plantation.
I don't know why people are so afraid of the truth.
Well, somebody, maybe they can help me. God bless you, Michelle. Come on in, Myra, and then John.
Good morning, Saints. How are you?
Awesome.
Coach, thank you so much for the huddle because the truth is being spoken. And this Sunday, I worship with Pastor Spell. In Tabernacle, virtually, of course, he did a lot of dancing. He did a lot of singing, and it was the church was just happy church. And
Myra, they believe in speaking in tongues in that church, you know, and that's of the devil. That's of the devil. So, I mean, even though they look like they're really good and they look like they really love Jesus, you know, our denomination says that speaking in tongues is of the devil. So you better be careful, Myra, because they're going to, somebody know what I'm talking about? Yes or no? Yes or no? Mark Trump had a new grandbaby this morning. Thanks, Mark. Hollis, Rena, Juniper, Trump. They're going to call him Hank. Welcome, Hank Trump. Just sent me a text and a picture. Guys, listen, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm trying to expose what's going on, okay? I'm not trying to hammer you over your head because you have a set of beliefs. You have a set of beliefs because somebody, for the most part, probably put it in you, right? Now, listen to me. Listen, let's just pick on this. I hate to pick on the rapture because it's divides. It doesn't matter. But I can get in the Bible and I can show you why there is a pre-trib rapture. I can show you that. If that's my focus, I can find it. By the way, I can also get in the Bible and I can show you once saved, always saved. But I can get in the Bible also, and if I'm looking for whether you can lose your salvation, I can find that as well. So again, I talked about it the other day, paradigms. You have a set of, you have a point of view, and then you look for it. You look for the evidence that leads to your point of view. Oh, this is so good. I see why. I love this show. I love you guys because you don't get mad at me. Come on in, John and Joe.
Yeah, this is going to be hard because it's very emotional. I test the spirits. They say you should test the spirit. There's many spirits out there. And my test for that is if it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ and no one else, it's of him. If it brings honor and glory to another man, to yourself, it is not right. I have been called a zealot because I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to me in the quiet times. And if I act upon what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, my faith is strengthened. My prayers, I feel, go further than the roof I'm in, than the room I'm in, that my Father hears me. If I say no to my Father, then It's like people come to me, they mock me, and yet when they have a tragedy in their life, they call me for prayer. But 6 months before, you just said I was a zealot, and now you're coming to me to pray because you know your prayers are not being heard because you're not following Jesus and committed to serving him.
Well, so John's better to be a zealot or lukewarm. Which one's better? First Corinthians, let's go, please, to, where am I? First Timothy, now is that what I want? First Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 4. John, I didn't mean to cut you off. Listen, there's supposed to be unity in the body, folks, not disunity, not disharmony, not divisions. Hey, can you imagine getting a football team? Where's Coach Norm when I need him? By the way, I got a chance to marry my dear friend, Coach Mark Collier, yesterday. It's awesome. Awesome to be part of that. Can you imagine getting in a football team and everybody having a different play running? Different set of beliefs. Can you imagine? We would laugh at that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we laugh at that? Huh? Wow. Where am I? I'm looking for foolish, unlearned questions to avoid, for they do engender strife. Where is that? Where are they? It says here, foolish and unlearned question. 1 Corinthians, is that where I am, Spence? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's try that. 1533. Yeah. Foolish, where is it? I'm trying to read off what I got right here. Somebody smarter than me? 2 Timothy 2.23. 2 Timothy 2.23. I'm sorry. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. A, unlearned questions. If you don't know anything about it, stay away from it. Is that what it means? No. No, that has to do with who you're hearing it from. And if you have a pastor that says to you, well, we don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We don't believe that. You know what I think that is? I think that's foolish and unlearned. That's what I think. Because why? Because I know people who do have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and do speak in tongues. Anybody know any of those folks? Anybody know it? No? Everyone? What? So what, they're not Christians? Oh, let's put them over in their box. They stay over in that tongue talking box. We don't believe in it over here. We'll believe in the we don't believe in tongue box. See, it's either the utterance of the Holy Spirit or there isn't. Can't agree to disagree on that, right? But you do know this, right? That there are people that you hang out with that will not hang out with you because you might have a different perspective on Scripture than them. That'd be a good place to say amen, but it's okay. Come on in, Joe Allen, then Allen, then Randy. Go ahead.
This whole world just went through, for the past year and a half of Satanism. Believing that God is not here. We're walking around. I walk around. I see people that still wear the dang mask down here. Do they not read the Bible? Do they not believe that God is the only one that's going to bring them out?
No, they listen to their pastor. That's what they do. Yeah. They listen to him.
I'm not afraid of God's wrath. I'm afraid of man's wrath.
Mm.
And stupidity. That's out here.
So Joseph, if we just go a little bit farther with what it is that you're saying, and anybody, hey folks, we all come on. Tell me you know this. Please tell me you know this. That our government is demonically controlled. Somebody say, yeah, Coach, I've picked that up. I figured that a long time ago. I'm looking for thumbs up. Somebody's giving me some thumbs up. Real ones. I'm looking at you. Anybody out there agrees with me? So I'm not alone.
Amen.
Our government's not doing righteous stuff. Right, that Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, amen, is not to be mentioned in our government, right? Y'all with me on that, right? We're all with me on that. And then that same government that is okay for killing babies and promoting homosexuality and pedophilia, that same government that is for all of that, who is forcing churches to be closed, putting pastors in jail, that same government's telling you to take a vaccination, and pastors say, yeah, let's do that. It baffles me. And the only resistance that we have is the body of Christ. We are the only resistance, and many in the body of Christ are still obediently taking a vaccine. That's It's unbelievable. Alan, come on in. I forgot somebody else I called on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Coach. One of my former players, he's a Tampa PD officer. He's been on the show. It's been a few months ago. But anyway, he called
love
me.
Hey, by the way, love you, Alan. Go ahead, man.
I love you too, Coach. And he says, I'm having a bad day, Coach. I said, what's going on? He said, well, he said, I had to pull a man from a burning truck. He was burnt, slapped to death, burned up in the truck. And a few hours later, he had to pull a mother, a daughter and a father out of a wreck. They died in the wreck. And I said, Bradley, here's the deal, buddy. I said, if you go ahead and Google, I'm pretty close, I believe, Coach. About 200,000 people are going to meet Jesus today around the world. Yesterday, about 200,000 met him yesterday. Now, some of them met him as judge. Some of them met him as savior. And that was their choice. But, you know, the thing about the rapture that I like, this is what I like about the rapture teaching. That makes you stay ready daily because, see, 200,000 people are going to be raptured today. Their rapture is going to happen today. So as far as I look at the rapture, about living a holy and righteous life 24/7, 365, what's wrong with that? Because like you said, blood pressure stacking up, who knows what's going to happen. We don't control our next heartbeat. We better stay ready. And, hey, I pray in tongues, Coach. I speak in tongues. And I tell you right now, when people really get deathly sick and ill, they want folks that pray in tongues.
Yeah,
they do. Amen.
That's right.
And pray for people that's full up, full blown AIDS, and they step out of there and their blood's clean. They want them kind of folk playing.
They sure do.
Amen.
And by the way, Alan, you wouldn't believe the number of people that I hear from that their pastor tells them not to listen to me because of some of the things you just talked about. Oh, he believes this, and he believes this, and he believes this. he doesn't believe like us, right? So let me double back on that, Alan. It's the fear of death, the reality of death that keeps me on my edge of my seat every day, not the rapture. The reality that death could come. See, the reality that tomorrow I could never see my wife again. The reality that I would never see my grandchildren again. That's what keeps me on the edge.
Amen, Coach.
And I hope I get, I hope there's a rapture and I hope I get out of there. But I think the reality of the world is I'm more likely to die from a heart attack or something than that. That's just my, see, it's all perspective. It's all paradigm. And I'm not saying you're right and I'm wrong or I'm right. And you're, that isn't what it's about. It has to be our focus. What's our focus? Why do we do what we do? And where did we learn to do that? Come on in, Jim. Come on in, then Clay.
Yeah. You know, on that issue, we all have the same thing in common, that when we die, the Lord returns for us. He returns for you the day you die, the minute you die. Hebrews 9:27 says that, you know, the minute after we are dead, we are in his presence. So, you know, that.
Now, wait a minute, Jim, wait a minute, Jim. No, I'm in purgatory.
Well, other than that denomination.
Well, that's what they told me.
Well, on Once Saved, Always Saved, you ever had a job where you knew you would never be fired?
Would you show
up every day at 7:45? Would you work till 5:15 every day? I mean, it sets you up for just relaxing and thinking, well, God, I was never going to be fired. And then Satan has your life.
You mean to tell me the Lord's going to look down on you and say, Bernie Davis, you're fired? Wow, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we're the church outside the church house, right?
Yeah.
So do we bring our porn magazines and our and do we get drunk up in the church house? So we got to think about that. What kind of sin are we bringing into our church every day? Amen. We better get ready.
Well, Vin, Clay, part of it is hopefully not all the 138 that are in here today. Hopefully you're walking and the best you can walking in holiness. Well, I'm going to tell you, the average churchgoer is Christian on Sunday, for the most part. And they don't live it and walk it out. Because why? They're untrained. They're untrained in righteousness. They don't know how to do it. Because why? They don't hear it. They don't. See, our pulpits should be ablaze right now with pastors every week exposing the unfruitful works of darkness in the world to the people so that the people see what's going on. You go to church and pastor says, hey, see this vaccination stuff? Do you guys know what's going on with vaccinations? Do you know how they developed them? Do you know there's no liability for them? Do you know these baby tissues? Take us through it. Take us through it and say, listen, because of that, Christians, we can't take that. We can't take that. Isn't that what it? No, we go there and we learn how to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. We don't learn the real deep down issues of the day involved with expanding the gospel of the kingdom. We don't do that. No, we go to church to have our ears tickled. I hate to use that term, but we go to church. People say, I didn't get fed today. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I went to church and, I didn't get fed today. We ain't going there to get fed. What are you talking about? You didn't get fed.
Amen.
Feed trough? What? He's supposed to have something good cooked up for you, going to make you feel good? I want to go to church feel bad. I want to know how much I'm missing the mark. Because I was a football coach. Hey, Brett, you've been in the locker room. Where's Coach Norm? Is he in there today? Hey, listen. Hey, Brett, when you're sitting around with your coach and you're watching the film, is he pointing out all the good things you did or is he pointing out all the bad things you did?
Hey,
he doesn't point out the good things because he expects the good things.
That's right. The big guy in the sky does not lie. And he repeats it. He repeats the video of where you broke down because you are affecting the team, of Christ.
Right? Yeah. And every once in a while, somebody may do a Herculean above the Call of Duty play, and then he'll show that too. But for the most part, when you break down the game films, they are kicking you in the butt of where you came up short. Now, they doing that in church? No. They don't do that in church. No. And so we got happy, slappy church. Good. Jeff, Nell, and Bernie, come on in. I'm sorry. I got to get it off of me, okay? I got to get this off my chest. Come on in, Jeff.
And Coach, when I'm out the street preaching, I face a gentleman and they're saying I'm doing it wrong. Well, I point to the ground and I point and go and say, go for it. And I get a there in the headlight look.
Yeah.
Also, I met with my former pastor who elected me out of the church because I preached the death, burial, and resurrection. And I talked about sin and repentance. I said to him, God shuts the rain off. And he gave me the weirdest look because we went to seminary. And he's still in diapers himself.
You're just messing up the cake he's trying to bake. Come on in, Bernie.
Okay, so here's another paradigm, birth control. I mean, come on. How does the church justify this? You know, I'm not Catholic, but I love Catholic. You know, there's some places where they took stands that was really more scriptural than these other people. I'm like, what are you guys complaining about? You know, divorce and everything else. You know, there was a guy came to a church, I was at a Baptist church function. This guy said, he's new to the church. I'm asking, how he got here. He said, we were Catholic. The Catholic church wouldn't marry us because we've been divorced. So we became Baptist. I'm like, seriously? What in the world is going on here? All right. Here's another question. Did you create God or did God create you? Were you created for your glory or did he create you for his glory?
Amen. That's right.
Jesus.
So Bernie, when the Bible says, excuse me, I believe it does, to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey folks, listen. Okay. Listen. This is, okay, Lord, I'll say it. I don't care how mad they get. Sex was for procreation. It wasn't for pleasure. That's hedonism, right? Go ahead, Bern. Go ahead.
I'm going to say sex was created for oneness. And the fruit is procreation, okay?
Yes.
That is meaningful, even if you're not having children. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
But Bernie, sure. my point is this: in a male-female relationship, there's always the possibility of a child being created in that intimate relationship, right?
Because
God is sovereign, right?
God makes that decision.
That's right. That's right. So if you are taking birth control, then you are what?
Then you're trusting man.
You're right?
you're
No, no. Yes. Your sex act is unfruitful. It's unfruitful, folks. Hey, listen. Homosex, unfruitful. Homosex, all it is pleasure. It's unfruitful. Hey, masturbation, unfruitful. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. If it does not produce fruit, we're not supposed to be doing it. Pretty simple.
Then why is the church having no fruit of righteousness? Why is the church not producing fruit? Isn't that what he was mad about the parable of of the landowner? You know, when he came back and he wanted to get his cut, and they're like, "Oh, we want you to leave because we're having too much fun here." I mean, Amen. Jesus came to the church. Would they tell him to leave?
Yeah. Worst thing I ever did. Hang on, I'm going to get you in here, Silver. Worst thing I ever did. I'm talking about me. I'm 68 years old. I should have had 20 kids. That's my greatest regret as I look back over my life. I should have had 20 kids. Hey, can I tell you this? The church didn't tell me to have 20 kids. What did the church tell me? Better put a stop on that. You can't afford them. Don't have too many. Right? Right.
I was under so much pressure by people in the church and my family to get fixed. But something told me that's wrong. I just couldn't do it.
It's unfruitful. Makes sex unfruitful.
I've got seven kids. But God opened and closed the womb. And I could talk to you more. I'm not taking over your show, Coach.
Good.
You're really on to something important. I just want to encourage the body. And you guys are encouraging me. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie, because listen, not one pastor in 1,000 will tell people not to use birth control. Not one in 1,000. Come on in, Silver.
Good morning, Coach. And I agree. My greatest regret is not having more children, but it was by my choice for lack of a better term, gift to my wife to fix me so she didn't have to do that thing with the pill. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yep.
And God's going, fool. Okay.
Fool.
All of this that we've talked about today is we're seeing things going on that we know are happening in the times of the end. Okay. And we need to concentrate on bringing his people out of her together for him.
Amen. Joe, we're seeing a great failure of the pulpit, really is what it is, right? And when you paint with a broad brush. Can I say this? Listen to me. Look right in my eyes, okay? I have so failed. And some of the things I've taught my children, others, I have so failed. But I failed because I got bad advice. And I hate to say this. No, I don't hate to say this. Truth of the matter is, many of the guys standing in the pulpit have failed because they got bad advice. And so if you've been a pastor for 10 years or 15 years, and all of a sudden you come to the truth, do you all of a sudden shift gears and say to your people, hey, boy, I was wrong. I've been teaching that for 10 years. Sorry, I was wrong about that. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. You don't do that.
I do.
Most don't.
You're right.
I come in here every day and I try to tell you I don't know the truth. I'm sure looking for it, though. Who hadn't been in here yet? I got a bunch of hands in the air. John, come on back in.
Yeah, I just want to say that, though, how I judge my walk with Christ is I do not want to be in his presence. And he says, depart me from me. I never knew you. That's the hardest thing to dwell on. It says, where have I failed that he does not recognize me? It has to be with obedience. If you are not obedient, then you are not a child of his. Your name is not in the book of life. I want my name in the book of life because I please my Father.
Amen. Listen. No. I want my name in the, you're right. I want to please my Father, so my name's in the book of life. It's not do this, get this. That's not what I want. I just want to please my Father, and my name will be in that book. Come on in, Tom or Emma. Come on in, Emma.
Okay. I just wanted to say that until I was 30, I was married, but my husband died. I'm married again at 30. At 32, we had our first child. At 42, we had our last child. We had four. I was glad not to have any more after 42, but all of my pregnancies were considered old women pregnancies, and yet I had four healthy children. I am grieved to say two don't follow the Lord, but two do, and you can only do your best, and that's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Amen. I'm going to end on a high note today, okay? I'm just kind of cleaning my own. Hey, pulled up there. My wife, I love my wife. She says, honey, you got to show this. So I'm going to show it. It is called Modest is Hottest. Guys, can you believe, Lord, help me to say this the right way. Can you believe the way men allow their daughters to dress? Where are the daddies? I see. So this is Matthew West just did this video. Modest is hottest. And my wife laughed out loud when she watched it. So I knew it was good. And I just want to put this out there for a guy who's 68 years old. And I don't want to take any credit for it. We have two beautiful daughters. Michelle and I have two beautiful daughters. And they dress modestly. They dress modestly. They always have. And you see the fashions of today. Women got their boobs jutting out, and they got their belly buttons showing, and they got their, you know, somebody with that other little thing down there, that pants up there, ties, draws a man's eyes to it. And then, but yet if you went and if the girl saw that you were oogling at her, she would say, oh, what are you staring at? But that's why they dress that way, isn't it? They dress that way so they'll oogle. And so Matthew West, just got kicked off the internet. So they're after me today, aren't they? Matthew West, this is in honor of my lovely wife, Michelle. It's 2 minutes and 36 seconds. Modest is Hottest, an official video. Go ahead and play that.
Dear daughter, it's me, your father. I think it's time we had a talk. The boys are coming around because you're beautiful, and it's all your mother's fault. And I've been trying hard to raise you upright. No drinking, no smoking, no swearing. But your old man's got a little more advice when it comes to the clothes that you're wearing. Listen. Modest is hottest. The latest fashion trend is a little more Amish, a little less Kardashian. What the boys really love is a turtleneck and a sensible pair of slacks. Honey, modest is hottest. Sincerely, your dad. If I catch you doing dances on the TikTok in a crop top, so help me God, you'll be grounded till the world stops. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. 'Cause modest is hottest. The latest fashion trend is a little more Amish, a little less Kardashian. What the boys really love is a turtleneck and a sensible pair of slacks. Honey, modest is highest. Sincerely, your dad. All the parents be saying their prayers that all their girls may be wearing more layers. Moms and dads and less like Cardi B. No offense to Cardi B. I'm sure she's a really nice girl and Jesus loves her, but I just think modest is hottest. The latest fashion trend is a little more Amish and a little less Kardashian. What the boys really love is a turtleneck and a sensible pair of slacks. Honey, modest is hottest. Sincerely, your dad. What the boys really love is a one. hottest is hottest. Sincerely, your dad.
Amen.
Amen for daddies that will teach that to their daughters, right? Oh, mommies, daddies, teach your daughters what the flesh, the impact the flesh has on men. Teach your daughters that, oh, man. Jeff, come on in, Jeff.
Coach, yesterday wasn't a great Father's Day message. It was on the lack of testosterone that men have, Christian men mainly, and hiding in the man caves. Oh, yep. He just hammered, and the lion cubs. He said the lions are to be bold. You're to be bold as a lion. He said, what do the two cubs do? They fight when they play. They fight. He said, and daddy and mommy sit back and let them fight. He said, we have no fight in us. It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
Amen. Well, good. There is no fight in us for sure. Blessing. Hey, Gary, did you want to come in? I just got your text that you wanted to get in. Hey, they are messing with us on the internet. I don't know what's going on. It's okay. It's all good. Gary, do you want to come in?
Yes. I just wanted to say, backtracking on some things, you know, whether you believe in a rapture, whether you don't, or any of these other issues. Number one, whatever you believe, beliefs have consequences. Yep. And number two, when it comes to the whole thing about children, you know, we have actually a duty before God and man to have children.
Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Sex, yep, without the possibility of procreation is hedonism. Sex just for pleasure. The real pleasure is what? The production of a new life. God has the sovereignty to stick that new baby in there anytime he wants to be. I'm sounding like Reggie, I'm sounding like that old Roman Catholic in me. They had that one right, didn't they? They had that one right. But they're even wavering on that one. They used to teach you that rhythm method, didn't they? So you didn't break the laws. Remember? It's the intention of the heart, isn't it? The intention of the heart. We can't have any more. Bible says the children are a heritage of the Lord. Through the womb is his reward. Children are the Lord's reward. Isn't that something? And we want to take his reward from him. Come on in, Dale. You in Arizona, Dale?
No, I'm actually, we'll be at the Alamo today. We're making our way that way. But brother, you know about, you know, I took the time yesterday to encourage dads, challenge them in the word. So many men are getting beat down by society, by TV, by their wives. And men, you know, we establish ourselves in our conquest of works or whatever. So, you know, I took it to the word and I brought it to that Psalms 127. Blessed is that children are as arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so are children in one youth. For they not be ashamed when they sit in the gates with their enemy.
That's
but
right.
Brother, the real key to this whole verse is verse 1. See, this is where we miss it. It says, unless the Lord build the house, they that laboreth in vain. And so, brother, when the dad refuses to build the home on the gospel of Jesus Christ, what happens? You can have all the arrows you want. Muslims are having arrows left and right. They have an average of 12 kids. But guess what? Those are arrows that are going to be shot against you, Dad. They're going to be shot against the Christian if the Christian don't establish their homes on the Word of God first.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, rare is the church where they tell young people to have babies.
I'm sorry, Coach. And here, let me just really throw a curveball.
All right.
They're supposed to announce this thing down in Arizona on Friday, right at the peak of what we're going to be down there. I mean, it's going to look like Monsters Incorporated. When the kid gets exposed in the restaurant, everybody's going to freak out.
Well, we'll see. Dale, I just heard the other day they're going to wait to August to do it now. I'm not arguing. But Dale's talking about the ballot counting. Dale's down in Arizona with Operation Save America. It'd be awesome if you guys are there at the heart of it, right? I want to play this real quick. I just want to end on this note. Spencer, real quickly, speaking in Biden's ear. This is about a minute video. And I want you to watch during this press conference. And you ask yourself, is Joe Biden actually doing his own press conference? Or are they speaking in his ear? Slide on down there, man. I'm not going to run out of time yet. Right here. Is that it? No. No, going down. There it is, right here. Now you watch and see if somebody's not speaking in his ear. Go ahead.
To answer the first question. I'm laughing too.
We don't. We have to. We don't. Well,
Well, look, I mean, he has made clear that
five-second delay, people count it.
They're talking to him in his ear. They're telling him what to say. We're running out of time. I'll put that in. You can check that out at Gateway. It was unbelievable. I mean, you know how it is when you're listening to somebody, right? I mean, he's got his head down. You're not even looking at him. He's listening. What are they saying? What are they saying to me here? Okay, yeah, okay, I'll say that. It's unbelievable. What a time to be alive. I love you all. If you're for the rapture, you're against the rapture. If you're for water baptism, you're for speaking in tongues, you're welcome at our table here, right? Let's focus on the things that unite us, not the things that divide us. God bless you. See you tomorrow.